So Memorial Day weekend is for remembering those who've lost their lives that served our country. Do we have any people here that have lost loved ones in a that served in the military? Anybody here? Anybody else? On behalf of a grateful nation, we thank you for their service. And I'm not sure what kind of relative were they? Mom? In where? In the Army? Thank you for the families, representing the families. Because that's a hurtful thing to have. But it was for a good cause. And that was so that we can live in physical freedom. Like Danny said in church, today is a special day as well. It's the day of Pentecost. And I've got some information about Pentecost that I want to share. A lot of it's going to be scripture. So if you want to get your Bibles out, it's going to be in the John 14, 15, and 16 area, along with Acts 2. So just kind of put your finger in there. But today is Pentecost, the day we remember when the Holy Spirit came down and filled 120 disciples in an upper room, giving them the power to preach the gospel worldwide, proclaiming freedom. The Greek word Pentecost means 50th day. In the Old Testament, it was known as either the Jewish Feast of Weeks, Feast of Harvest, or the Day of First Fruits. Pentecost falls on the 50th day after the Feast of Passover. I thought that was pretty cool. The events in Acts 2 transformed the Jewish festival into a Christian day of remembrance. So, Father, we praise you and we thank you right now. Father, I pray that you would help our ears to hear and our eyes to see, our minds to understand what it is that you have for us today through your word. Father, we don't want man's words to get mixed in there and screw it all up. So we ask for your word to have power in opening blind eyes and help our understanding. In the name of Jesus. Okay. One other thing. I want to command any assignments by the enemy of our souls to be defeated in the mighty name of Jesus. We break down any barriers and walls of opposition to your word from going out and accomplishing the task you have predestined. In Jesus' name we pray. So Pentecost is the day Jesus promised would come after he ascended to the Father. John 14, 25 through 26, and this is Jesus speaking. I have told you these things while I am still with you. But the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things, and he will cause you to recall everything I have told you. But when the Comforter comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who comes from the Father, he will testify regarding me. But you also will testify and be my witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. John 16, 8. And when he comes, he will convict and convince the world and bring demonstration to it about sin and about righteousness and about judgment. But 16, 13. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak his own message, but he will tell whatever he hears, and he will announce and declare to you the things that are to come. John 16, 14. He, the Holy Spirit, will honor and glorify me because he will take of what is mine and will reveal it to you. 16, 15. Everything that the Father has is mine. That is what I meant when I said that he, the Spirit, will take the things that are mine and will reveal it to you. Hang in there. Acts 1:5. For John baptized with water, but not many days from now, you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. 2:1. And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all assembled in one place. When suddenly there came a sound from heaven like the rushing of a violent tempest blast, and it filled the whole house in which they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues resembling fire, which were separated and distributed, and which settled on each one of them. Acts 2:4. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit kept giving them clear and loud expression. Acts 2:11. Amazed Jews were saying, "We all hear them speaking in our own natural languages, telling of the mighty works of God." 2:15. Peter got up and addressed the crowd. "These men are not drunk as you imagine. This is the beginning of what was spoken through the prophet Joel." 2:17. "And it came to pass in the last day, God declares that I will pour out my Spirit upon all mankind, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Yes, and on my men servants and maidservants I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy." 2:19, "And I will show wonders in the sky above and signs on the earth beneath, blood and fire and smoking vapors. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into the blood before the obvious day of the Lord comes." 2:21, "And it shall be that whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Acts 2:33, "Jesus being therefore lifted high, by and to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit, he made this outpouring which you yourselves both see and hear." Jesus, thank you for this outpouring. Father, we need an outpouring again, Lord. We need this. Sorry for the lengthy, but it told the story, I thought, and pretty good fashion. After this outpouring, we begin to see names of some of the characters in the New Testament have a particular phrase after their name. For example, Acts 11:24, "Barnabas was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and full of faith." That says, in my Bible, it says, "full of and controlled by the Holy Spirit and full of faith." I looked up that, and in the King James, it talks about just being full of the Holy Spirit, but that meant being influenced by the Holy Spirit. Okay, so we'll just kind of dumb that down a little bit for me. Barnabas was a good man, full of and influenced by the Holy Spirit and full of faith. Acts 13:9, "But Saul, who is also called Paul, was filled with and influenced by the Holy Spirit." In Acts 6:5, "Stephen, a man full of faith and influenced by the Holy Spirit." So this Pentecostal outpouring had a huge effect. It was life-changing. These guys were now identified as full of and influenced by the Holy Spirit. But what does that mean for us as Christians? Are we full of and influenced by the Holy Spirit? How do we know? God's Word says in Acts 2:38, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of and release from your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Hopefully that's a check for you. So I'm thinking to myself, can the Holy Spirit be in us, yet we are not fully influenced by Him? And I immediately came to my mind the 1 Thessalonians 5:19, "Do not quench the Spirit." So evidently, this quenching, I looked that up, and it says to prevent the Holy Spirit from exerting his full influence. So we are not to prevent the Holy Spirit from exerting his full influence. So it means we possibly can do that. It says don't do it, but we have the ability evidently to do that. And I know for times that, you know, I can't hear from the Lord, or I don't spend time with him, or I'm not in the Word, or I don't come to church, it's harder and harder and harder. He's still there. I'm still here. He's still inside of me. But my mind is dull. I can't hear him as well. And it's not a good place to be, because then you start getting tempted by things on the outside that are a little more shiny than that. And shiny things get our attention, especially teenage girls. I'm sorry, did I say that? I told Shelby I was going to. So, what would block us from being influenced? What would cause us not to be influenced? Well, it seems, first of all, you got to want to be influenced. You got to want it. Your will is involved. So why would you want to be influenced or filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, I've got several things here. Number one, to receive God's gifts. In 1 Corinthians 12:8, it says God's gifts are wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, working of miracles, prophecy, discerning the spirits, diverse kinds of tongues, and interpretation of tongues. Who wouldn't want that? I mean, come on. But the greatest of these is, in 1 Corinthians 13, love. Love. Now, Romans 5:5 says, because the love of God is poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Okay, I have, this is where I struggle. Love. I could not get that. I mean, it's hard for me to feel things that, you know, I just don't feel love that well. It's just something that I struggle with. And so it was kind of a relief for me to understand that this Romans 5:5 says, the love of God is poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Okay, I don't have to do anything. All I got to do is ask. Cool. I can do that. I can ask. And I can have faith, the size of a mustard seed. So I do. I ask for it. And I don't know if I got it, but I still ask for it. I want more. I don't know what I'm asking for a lot of times, because it's one of those things that's hard for me. But I believe that God says what he says is true. And it says, the love of God is poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. What else why else would we want to be influenced by the Holy Spirit? Well, in Romans 8:26, it says that he helps us with prayer. Specifically, he says, Holy Spirit, come to our aid and bears us up in our weakness, for we do not know what prayer to offer nor how to offer it worthily as we ought. But the Holy Spirit himself goes to meet our supplications and pleads in our behalf with unspeakable yearnings and groanings too deep for utterance. Say, what? The Holy Spirit goes and fights for me. Romans 8:27, the Holy Spirit intercedes and pleads before God on behalf of the saints. That's us. If you've received Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you're a saint. Pleads before God in behalf of the saints according to and in harmony with God's will. So we just got to know what God's will is. Thank God, Jamie, you were there. The lady didn't know it was God's will to be healed. I prayed for people that didn't get healed, but it's still God's will to heal them. It's his timing. It's all his. But our job is just to ask. It says, ask and keep on asking, and you will receive. So I don't understand it. I'm telling you what's here. Another thing that happens when you want to be influenced by the Holy Spirit, power when preaching the word. You know, one of my prayers today is, Lord, just don't let me be the same. When I come in here, don't let me be the same as I go out. I need your power to do that, though. Romans 15, 19, Paul speaking, even as my preaching has been accompanied with the power of signs and wonders, in all of it by the power of the Holy Spirit. Not his power. I don't have to rely on my power because we get nothing done today. But the Holy Spirit's power. So if there's anyone here today needing healing, needing deliverance, needing salvation, needing whatever you need, God is here. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, he will perform signs and wonders for us. It also seems you have to understand how to be influenced. And that's a matter of the mind. You got to obtain the mind of Christ. And we have the mind of Christ according to 1 Corinthians 2:16. It also seems you have to desire to be influenced. That's a matter of emotions. And what does Revelation 3:16 say? It says, you know, being hot, don't be cold, don't be lukewarm. Or you could be hot or cold, but don't be lukewarm or you'll get spewed out of God's mouth. So he doesn't want us necessarily led by the mind, the will, the emotions. But he can sanctify those things to where they're working in our life, and he can use them. It also seems to be influenced, is also a matter of choosing which nature to nurture. And the choice is between the carnal nature and the spiritual nature. So if we choose to be influenced by the carnal nature, or we could choose to be influenced by our spiritual nature. Let's talk about that for just a second, the carnal nature. Romans 8:5. Those who are controlled or influenced by the flesh are controlled or influenced by the unholy desires. They set their minds on and pursue those things which gratify the flesh. But those who are according to the Spirit and are controlled and influenced by the Spirit, the desires of the Spirit set their mind on the desires of the Spirit and seeks those things which gratify the Holy Spirit. So what does this mean? Controlled and influenced by the flesh. Setting our affections toward or loving the flesh, the carnal nature, the unsaved nature, the person that we were before we got saved. Okay, that person still has a chance to come up within us if we allow it. We're supposed to crucify that flesh, and that's a daily process, it seems like, because some of those desires just keep coming up. Those who love the flesh are controlled by unholy desires and set their minds on pursue the things which makes the flesh feel good. Okay, so Galatians 5:7 says, the desires of the flesh are opposed to the Holy Spirit, and desires of the Spirit are opposed to the flesh, for they are antagonistic, or they oppose each other. If we set our mind on the things of the flesh, we will practice the following things, in Galatians 5:19. The practices of the flesh are clear. And I kind of did a little bit of word study there. This phrase means, these are works that demonstrate the emergence of the old man, the person we were before salvation. So the works of the flesh are as follows. Adultery. Now I went to the King James Version for this because it spelled it out a little bit better. But adultery, all kinds of sexual sin that involve at least one person with who is married. Fornication, any sexual sin. Uncleanness, morally dirty, either by self or with another. This was a hard one. Lasciviousness. Sexual excess without holding back, basically perversion. Idolatry. Worshipping an image or false god. Witchcraft. I didn't know this, but it's pharmakia. The occult, sorcery, witchcraft, illegal prescription drugs, trances, magical incantations with drugs. Hatred. Hostile towards somebody. Variance. The love of quarreling. Emulations. A jealousy which makes war upon the good it sees in another, thus troubling that good and diminishing it. Have you ever seen somebody that doesn't like somebody because they're successful or they're happy? They want to put that person down. Or wrath, outburst of anger. Been there, done that one. Strife, self-centered arguing. Seditions, decision, separation, and division. Heresies. A form of religious worship, discipline, or opinion that is different than the majority of the group. Envyings, jealousy or pain felt at the sight of happiness or excellence. Murder, violent form of killing. Drunkenness, to make or become drunk. And revelings, feasting and drunkenness with impurity and obscenity of the grossest kind. So that's the list. I'm sure it's not all of it, but that's the big list there. I warn you beforehand that those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. For if you live according to the dictates of the flesh, Romans 8:13, you will surely die. But if through the power of the Holy Spirit you are putting to death those evil deeds, you shall live forever. Okay, so we doesn't say that we're going to be totally clean. We're putting to death those things. So they continue to rise up. They continue to try to come to life. How do we as believers put these evil deeds to death? Repentance. We have the blood of Jesus to wash away every sin. Colossians 1:14, in whom Jesus we have our redemption, through his blood the forgiveness of our sins. Use that blood of Jesus, become clean, and make Psalm 51:10 through 13 your prayer. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right, persevering, and steadfast spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your way, and sinners shall be converted and return to you. A little bit like revival. So Paul gives us some directives, some encouragements on how to do this, how to get that flesh out of the way. He says, Ephesians 4:22, strip yourselves of your former nature, which characterized your previous manner of life, and becomes corrupt through lusts and desires that spring from delusion. And be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new nature created in God's image in true righteousness and holiness. Another thing you can do, Ephesians 4:25, reject all falsity, and being done with it, let everyone express the truth with his neighbor, for we are all parts of one body and members of one another. The real down in the weeds specifics, though, are listed in Ephesians 4:26. This is something we all can do, and we need to do continuously. Ephesians 4:26, when angry, do not sin. Do not ever let your wrath last until the sun goes down. 4:27, leave no room or foothold for the devil. 4:29, let no foul or polluting language, nor evil word, nor unwholesome or worthless talk ever come out of your mouth, but only such speech as is good and beneficial to the spiritual progress of others, as is fitting to the need and the occasion, that it may be a blessing and give grace to those who hear it. 4:30, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed. 4:31, let all bitterness and indignation and wrath and resentment, quarreling and slander be banished from you with all malice. 4:32, and become useful and helpful and kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. 5:1, therefore be imitators of God, follow his example as well. Beloved children, imitate their father, and walk as in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. For once you were in darkness, but now you are in light of the Lord. Walk as children of the light. So those are very specific things that we all can do to, and we have to do continuously, and we'll forget about it, and we'll, until something comes up. But I just encourage us, there are ways to beat that flesh down, making sure it doesn't take over. So what if I am a sinner who has not asked Jesus into my heart? Through either ignorance or I'm just waiting for the right time when I get my stuff together. Well, listen up to 1 Corinthians 2:14. It says, the natural, non-spiritual man does not accept or welcome or admit into his heart the gifts and teachings and revelations of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is incapable of knowing them because they are spiritually discerned and esteemed and appreciated. So my advice to you is take the same advice the house of Israel took when Peter explained what was happening at Pentecost. Acts 2:37, when the Holy Spirit fell on the 120 in the upper room, Peter addressed the curious onlookers about this issue. And when they heard his explanation about how Jesus came to save them and yet they crucified him, they were cut to the heart. And maybe some of you feel that way. Cut to the heart that Jesus died for you and yet you continue to reject him. And you ask, what shall I do? I'll respond with Scripture. Acts 2:38. Peter answered them, repent. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness and release from your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. 2:39. For the promise of the Holy Spirit is to and for you and your children, and to and for all that are far away, even to and as for as many as the Lord our God invites. And bids come to himself. The result of that message was Acts 2:41. Those who accepted and welcomed his message were baptized, and they were added that day 3,000 souls. Acts 2:43. And a sense of awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were performed through the apostles. And all who believed were united, and they had everything in common. Acts 2:46, and day after day they regularly assembled in the temple with united purpose in their homes. They broke bread, including the Lord's Supper. They partook of the food with gladness and simplicity and generous hearts. Acts 2:47, constantly praising God and being in favor and goodwill with all the people. And the Lord kept adding daily those who were being saved from spiritual death. Revival happened. I encourage you to read the rest of Ephesians 5. It's very specific. So the call today is for those who, if you're not saved, come now. Today is the day of salvation. God is calling you today. For those saved, if you live more for your flesh than you do for the Spirit, or you have one or two things that you can't get victory over, come up. Or if you need the love of God poured out into your heart, and you were like me, it's a struggle. Just ask for help praying in agreement with one of our workers and go straight to the source, or go straight to the source with the help of the Holy Spirit. I encourage you, come quickly. Don't let this moment pass. You're not guaranteed tomorrow or even the next half hour. I know I hit you with a lot of stuff, but I figured those words were written centuries ago, and they could say things better than I could ever say it. And plus, I want the power of the Holy Spirit here. I don't want anything quenching that. So, Lord, we just bow down before you, and I just thank you and praise you for your word that has gone out now. So Holy Spirit, I pray that you would just begin working on hearts, minds, bodies, souls, to do what it is that you have for them to do. Lord, we can't do it on our own. I can't pour out the love of God in my heart. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to do that for me, for everybody here. Let us feel your love and help us to get victory over this flesh. Because we want to be that spotless bride that you come back and find in your second coming. We just bow before you right now. And I'll just let the Holy Spirit lead you. And if you need prayer, just come up. If you want to pray by yourself, just take the altar.